everybody. We're going to go ahead and get started this morning. It's good to see you in the Lord's house today. Thank you for, boy, this is a wonderful day for ducks. Amen. Amen. No, hey, listen, this is a good day. The Lord, you know what? The Lord knows what we need, don't he? And we're going to trust the Lord with that. And if we didn't get rain, it'd get all dried up like it does out west. And then when there's a spark, everything burns down. So we're thankful. We're thankful for the rain today. God knows what we need. These are showers of blessings. And so we'll just praise the Lord for it and go on. And then thank the Lord we have a, yeah. Yeah, don't forget that screen that says silence your phones, okay? All right. So listen, we did pass out a handout today. There's a generic handout. Appreciate Brother Donnie and Ms. Tamara producing those for us. And anyway, it's just a place for you to write down some notes and some references and things like that. And then also at the bottom, as always, there's a place for you to put your prayer request. And so if you have a special request of prayer, you can jot those down in that allotted space and then tear it off at the preparation. Turn those in at the information desk. We'll try to make those a matter of prayer throughout the week, this week. And we prayed over your prayer slips this week and enjoy doing that. And so we hope that you'll take advantage of that today. Continue to pray for those of our church family that are under the weather right now. We have several of our folks that are sick, and I won't even begin to mention those names because we do have a lot of bugs and viruses going around. I'm just thankful to see this crowd for Sunday school. That's a blessing. But do pray for all those that are sick and afflicted. We're continuing to lift up Brother Todd. And also, please remember Miss Amy Queen. Miss Amy had some very, very major surgery this week, and we were able to get up and see her up at Cadaba Regional this week. She's doing really well, though, doing really, really well. So continue to pray for Miss Amy Queen, if you will, and I know she would appreciate that a whole lot. And then just, you know, pray for all the outreach ministries of the church. Pray for the radio broadcast. We've, you know, to God be the glory, the church has already been on several radio stations this morning, and then we'll be on radio stations throughout the day and even in the afternoon. And then we'll be on maybe one or two tomorrow, and then we'll be on a radio station on Wednesday. And so pray for the radio outreaches. And then we've already heard good reports from the nursing home ministry this week, this morning. And so we thank the Lord for that. Pray for the live stream. And I got this week. We had mentioned Brother David Taylor. Brother David, months and months ago, David watched our live stream. Anyway, lives in Michigan, works at the car factories up there. But David started watching our live stream, and long story short, pulled over on the side of the interstate, and David was gloriously saved, and then went on to get baptized. And David's in a good church up there. Now, there's not as many, you know, churches up there as there are here in the South, but he's in a good church, a doctrinal church, and followed in baptism, and just really getting burdened for his family. And we mentioned about a week ago or so, we mentioned that David was going to start a Bible study there at the one of the car, and I can't remember which one he works for, GM or Ford, or anyway, one of the Detroit car manufacturing companies up there. But he sent this week, and I thought I'd read it for you. He said he sent this Friday. He said, just want to touch bases with you to let you know that there are so many wonderful things that are happening at work already. He said, I have to call to tell you about it when we have time to talk. Please pray for one thing right now. He said, now I'm putting up Countdown to Courage on the 900 Union website, starting with the past talks on salvation. So I don't know what that is, the 900 Union websites. I'm not sure what that is, but I guess the big car manufacturers are all union up there, I guess. I don't know. But he's putting the Countdown to Courage up on that. And so anyway, the Lord's blessing, and I thought that was such a blessing. And I told him we were praying for his daughter, Jessica, and so continue to pray for Jessica, if you will. But anyway, while you're silencing your phones, let's go ahead and go to the Lord. Amen. And all right. Oh, by the way, don't forget to silence your phones today, okay? And so let's go to the Lord and pray. Brother Terry is going to teach our class this morning. Let's pray together. Father, we love you and thank you so much for the privilege to be back in church again today. Lord, what a joy it is. And Lord, we need church. Lord, you've told us that. We know that. I know that. I need church. And God, I need what I'm going to receive today. And Lord, truth of the matter is we all struggle. And we're battling this flesh on a constant basis. And Heavenly Father, we need the good Christian fellowship that we receive. We need the music. We need the fellowship. We need the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. Lord, we need it. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll minister to our hearts and our lives today. And I pray because of this time that we'll be stronger and better servants for you and for your glory. Father, we're so thankful for all these wonderful blessings that you're bestowing upon us. Thank you for blessing in the outreaches. Thank you for, Lord, this wonderful blessing that Brother David told us about. And God, how, Lord, somehow, supernaturally, the Calvary Baptist Church of Union Grove, little Union Grove, North Carolina, and yet, Lord, we're reaching into the Detroit area and now into the vehicle manufacturing factories up there. And Lord, all that's just absolute supernatural. There's no way we could do any of that were it not for you. And so, Father, we're so thankful for how you're working and blessing. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to expand our vision and, Lord, extend our outreach. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that because of these things, I pray that Jesus will receive glory. And I pray that the kingdom will be built. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that the Lord Jesus Christ will receive praise and glory and honor from all that's done. Father, there are many needs today. We pray for those that are physically afflicted today. Lord, that you would touch them and heal them. Some of our faithful people that hardly ever miss a service, they're out today. And I pray for them. We love them. And we pray for them that you touch them and heal them and bring them back to us real soon. And then it's good to see some that have been out. It's good to see them feeling better. It's good to see them back today. And Lord, we pray that you'd heal our sick. We pray that those that are well, you'd keep them well. And then, Lord, for those that are battling some chronic things, God, we sure pray that you would touch them and heal them. And Lord, we do want to mention Miss Amy in a special way. She has underwent some very, very serious surgery this week. I pray, God, that you'd raise her up. And I pray that, Lord, soon and very soon that she'd be back with us. And we pray that you'd bless her. And then, Lord, I pray that you'd bless Brother Terry as he teaches our class this morning. Lord, I pray the Word of God would come alive in his mind. And I pray the Word of God would come alive in our hearts and our minds today. And I pray that because of this time, we'll be better servants for you. And so, Lord, come now meet with us in a great way. I pray again that Jesus receives glory and praise from it all. We thank you for your blessings. I pray you'd bless in all the Sunday school classes and help the teachers as they teach. And I pray that the young people would be receptive and the young adults would be receptive. And Lord, just give us a mountaintop day today according to thy will. We love you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray and for his sake, amen. All right, Brother Terry. I hope you get your Bibles handy. And Brother Terry always does a great job. Looking forward to the lesson this morning.
Thank you, preacher. Amen. It's a beautiful day, even if it is wet. It's good to see the creeks high. Yeah, they about dried up. See a lot of these ponds around here about dry. I'm ringing up a little bit up here. Got me. Okay, good. Well, it's a pleasure to be here today. This is a good crowd for a bunch of Baptists on a rainy day, I'm telling you that right now. Because, you know, I'm going to be honest with you, it don't take a whole lot to get a Baptist to lay out a church. That's a fact. I know, because I've been there. I'm speaking from experience. Amen. So today I want to talk to you about a word that's only mentioned one time in the Bible, but we use it a lot. And it's called providence. Providence. And it's mentioned one time in the Bible, and it's got nothing to do with God. Remember when Tertullus, the orator over there, and they had Paul under trial, and he had him come in there to Felix, and he's rubbing rubbing elbows with them and talking real high and say, we appreciate what you do for our nation and the providence that you provide for us. But we hear all the time about the providence of God. But it's not mentioned. The word providence in relation to God is not mentioned. But if you look at the Bible, it is evident that God is a provident God. Amen? That thing's still ringing, Alan. Okay. I'm a little... It's messing with me up here. Okay? But anyway, so what I want to look at... Oh, and by the way, I need you guys to keep me on track as far as time, because the last time I went over, and I just want to go ahead and say I do not apologize for that, because sometimes things need to be said. Amen? So I'm going to try not to go over today, so I'm not going to waste much time. So we're going to talk about providence today, and I'm going to give you some definitions. I got four definitions up here of what providence is, because sometimes I'm not sure we understand what words mean. We hear words, but we don't know what they mean. So the first one I want to tell you about here is, in theology, providence is the care and superintendence which God exercises over his creation. That's what providence means in a theological sense, okay? So if we break that down, basically, providence is care and management of God's creation. But providence is not God just sitting up there watching. Amen. He's not sitting up there just watching what's going on. It says it is the exercise over his creation. God is active. He is working in his creation. He's not sitting up there. He didn't say, let there be light, let there be this, let there be that, and creation, and then just sit back and just watch it go. God's a God of order. He's a God of providence. He's in control. And do you realize that the same power that it took to that God's power that it took to make the creation, to speak it into existence, is necessary for it to continue? It is absolutely necessary for that same power to be present now during this whole time. It's necessary for that power to exist and to continue. Amen? So we see that we have a God that cares for us, and he's interested in managing his creation. And then the next definition I want you to look at is the act of providing or preparing for future use or application. We don't only have a God that's concerned with the creation and he's actively working in it, but he's also a God that provides and prepares us so we can be used of him. Amen? So we have a God that cares, he manages our lives, he's busy in our lives, preparing us for what he wants us to do. What's God wants you to do? Are you letting God prepare you for what he wants you to do? Amen? For future use or application. Okay? The next one I want you to look at is this number three, this third definition. It says foresight. Foresight. Timely care, particularly active foresight, or foresight accompanied with procurement of what is necessary for future use or with suitable preparation. So we have a God that lives. Listen, God is not confined. He is not confined to time. God is actively, he is in heaven and he is actively managing his creation. And for each and every human being, he is actively looking forward in your life. And he is directing your steps if you're yielded to him. He knows what's coming. So he is looking ahead, seeing your need, meeting that need, so you can be useful for his service. And it says, not just care, timely care. Listen, God is never late. He is never late. He always has exactly what you need. It may not be what you want or what you desire or what you think you need, but he will always have exactly what you need. And it will be exactly on time. And a lot of times when we pray or when we ask God for things and it don't come right away, we think, well, God didn't answer my prayer. Well, no. No, that's not necessarily true. The answer may just be no. Or it just may be not yet. You understand what I'm saying? Because we don't live, our time and our ways are not his ways. So we have, listen, we got our brain's about this big. We can't get a hold of everything that God has in store for us. We can't get a hold of what it takes. Listen, I know there's people in here that are in management, right? Anybody in here in management or have your own business, you're managing your own business? You know how hard it is to manage just a few things. Could you imagine trying to manage the universe? Huh? I mean, really, I couldn't have tried to imagine the people that are sitting in this room right now. Because it's a room full of Baptists, and Baptists are double-minded and unstable. Amen? Because I is one. I am. Amen? I can't imagine that. But God and his sovereignty and his power looks down on us and sees. He knows what he's dealing with. He made us. He looks down and he sees Terry, and he sees Mike, and he sees everybody, and he's like, I know what he needs. I know what Lee needs today. I got exactly what Lee needs today. And he gets it exactly when he needs it. Amen. We have a God that cares. He's not sitting in heaven twiddling his thumbs, worried about elections. He's not worried about wars. He's not worried about the climate. You understand what I'm saying? He's not worried about that. It's under control. Just like it's always been. It's under control. Listen, if God ceased to exist, we would all float off this planet because gravity wouldn't happen. We wouldn't have gravity. We wouldn't have sun. I mean, the earth would spin off its axis and go flying out like a golf ball out somewhere and land in a pond. Because there would be no control. There'd be no control. So that right there is providence. All of that is providence. That's God at work in the universe and in our lives, in our personal lives, in our careers, in our walk with him. In all aspects of our lives, God's providence is there. Even if you're not saved and you deny that there's a God, his providence is still there. In your life. I'm going to tell you, I can look back before I got saved, and see the way that I lived and the things that I done, and it's a wonder if I ain't dead. I should be dead or in prison. Okay, yeah. Yeah, or both. Or in prison first and then dead. How about that? I don't want to die in prison, amen. But here, that's the thing. God, listen, you cannot, I don't care what you think, who you are, you cannot take God out of this equation. He is there. Whether you decide, listen, you have to willfully know it to say that there's no God. And there's something inside of each and every one of us that says, you know what, there is a God. And you know what, the reason they don't accept the providence of God, and they don't accept that there's a God in heaven that's controlling everything, is because they do not want to be accountable. Because if they acknowledge that, yes, there is a God in heaven, and he is the creator and the sustainer of all things, then I have to acknowledge that. And then that, at that point, I'm accountable to that God. To that God that created everything. You see, that changes things. That changes things right there. So we have a God that cares for us. He's always on time. He's active. He knows where we're going. He knows where we're being. And he knows what we need. And he provides all that stuff. And he prepares us suitably to be used of him. He will prepare. If you allow God in your life and you allow him to control your life, listen, you'll be a vessel of honor. You'll be a vessel of honor. If you don't allow God to control you, he will put you on a shelf. If you belong to him, he will sideline you. And I know exactly how it feels to be sidelined. Because I sit right over there. I got called to preach at the church down there at the Spies Life Center. Amen. I got called, when that was our church, I got called down there. And I was in the ministry for a little while, and then it's just like I just drifted out. God wasn't using me anymore. I was sitting back there, and I was watching all these other people that God was using. A lot of these young guys, you know, a lot of these young preachers, and God was using them in a mighty way. And then preachers would come in, and man, there was something inside of me. And then one day I was like, something's going to change. So I acknowledged I was wrong. God wasn't wrong. I was wrong. And he was dealing with my heart. I was seeing all these people in here ministering and serving, happy. And man, I didn't even feel right when I come in here. I didn't even feel I was here, but I was not here. Does that make sense? Any of y'all know what I'm talking about? You just show up. And I sat right over there, and I seen that, and I just had all I could have. And I was like, Lord, I'm wrong. You're right. Use me again. Use me again. I don't want to just float. I don't want to drift. Drifting is terrible. Because before you know it, listen, you miss a church service. It makes it easier to miss another one. And then it makes it easier to miss another one. And then before you know it, you're going to church once a month. And before you know it, you stop reading your Bible. You stop praying. And you stop telling people about Jesus. And then you're just out here like you're out in the middle of the ocean. And nobody else is even around you. And you're getting farther and farther and farther away from the God that chose you. He came to you, and you heard the gospel, and you got born again. And then there's a time when you're going to have to stop drifting and start paddling. You're going to have to paddle. Because you're not going to drift back to where you was at. It's always harder to get back from where you left than it is to get where you're going. I'm just telling you, it's the truth, because I've been there. And I prayed and I asked the God of heaven, the God of providence. And you know what he did? He answered my prayer. And he started using me again. You see what I'm saying? Listen, God cares about you. His providence is, all you have to do is open your eyes. Look at this place. Look at this. Do you think you could have this in the middle of nowhere without God? No, you can't. You can't even have this in the middle of a city without God. You understand what I'm saying? He puts everything that we need in front of us. We just have to yield to him and just do what he asks us to do. You know, it's like witnessing and like reading your Bible. Get up and read your Bible. Start your day off right. One of the greatest, listen to this, one of the greatest examples that we have of God's providence is the Bible. Is the Bible. Listen, I'm going to read you a scripture right here. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read you a couple of scriptures right here because I ain't read a single word of scripture yet. You see that? See how? Listen, this is not homiletically correct, all right? I can't even speak. I'm getting tongue-tied, preacher. Listen, with me, you just get what you get, okay? That's just the way it is. That's the way God made me, and that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Amen. Or 2 Peter and chapter 1, and we're going to read verse 20 and 21. It says this, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says this. This is very, very familiar. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Listen, God gave us a book, and he preserved his word. The Bible says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And you know, I got a problem. I have a real big problem with people that say that they're born again, and they're trusting Christ as their Savior, and they're putting their eternity into the hands of God for him to keep them unto that day. And they don't have enough faith to believe that God is able to preserve his word. Amen. Are you kidding me? You're going to put the most precious thing that you've got in the hands of a God that you can't even trust if he can preserve his word? You're an idiot. You ain't got no sense. That's stupid. It just is. I don't care how you slice it. Now listen. I don't know anybody that's in their right mind that wants to go to hell. Amen. I mean, there's people that say that, yeah, we're going to go and we're going to have fun. We're going to do this. I'm going to tell you something. They have no idea, okay? They have no idea of the providence that God has supplied them, okay? But somebody that is born again and trusting God to keep them, they're not trusting in their self. They're not trusting in society. They're not trusting in somebody. They're trusting in Christ, his finished work on the cross, according to the Scriptures, right? And you're going to tell me that you got to have 1,100 different translations because we're not sure if this one's right. And the funny thing to me is, every one of those are compared to the one they don't know is not right. Now, how much sense does that even make? Can you please help me? It don't make any sense. Fifth grade reading level. All right? Fifth grade. All you got to do is read it. Listen, it preaches itself. It teaches itself. It's everything that we need from God. Amen. Everything that you need to know is in this book. Amen. And you can trust it because it's settled and it's preserved and it's pure. Amen. So if you want to read a NIV or a I don't even know why they even call it a New King James. I mean, we ain't got a king, so how can you have a new King James if you don't have a king sitting? It's just a phony. It's a copy. It's counterfeit. It's counterfeit. Listen, if you're reading NIV, I ain't mad at you. I just want you to know I ain't mad at you. But you're robbing yourself of a great blessing by skipping out on the King James Bible. Amen. So that's one of the greatest, one of the absolute greatest examples of God's providence is His Word. And then we got some examples here. I want to read you through Scripture. I got some wrote down. I'm doing good on time. Doing good on time. You just let me know now. So, like we said, the Bible is full of examples of the providence of God. First one I'm going to bring to you is heaven and earth were created because God said so. He said so. It was created because God said so. And I was studying that out. And I got to reading over. Now, this is going to take a little time right here. I was reading over in Genesis chapter 1 where it talked about the creation. And then when you switches gear and it goes to chapter 2 there, and it says these are the generations of the creation. And it goes through and explains exactly how God created everything. Well, He spoke everything into existence except man. Chapter 2, verse 7 says, God formed man out of the dust of the earth. That separates you from the entire rest of the creation. God gave man dominion over the creation. And the Bible says that God, now, listen, some people, I've seen pictures where they got God and Adam's laying down there and he's whatever. I think he was standing up. I believe God, when God made Adam out of the dirt, he was standing up. And the Bible says that He formed Adam out of the dust of the ground and He breathed. He breathed into his nostrils and he became a living soul. You know what? I bet it was magnificent when God spoke things into existence. I mean, I bet it was like, you know, just crazy. But when He created Adam, I believe He got done with Adam and He looked. He said, yeah, that's what I want. And He goes, we serve a providential God. He breathed the breath of life into Adam, and he became a living soul. That separates you from everything else. And God cares for you. It don't matter where you're at. It don't matter where you've been. He cares for you. He loves you. And He wants to be a part of your life. He wants to be a part of your life. Amen. And then Sarah had a baby because God promised. 90 years old. Unthinkable. Inconceivable. Inconceivable. 90 years old having a baby because God said He'd do it. He promised. Joseph was sold into slavery because God had a plan. There was a famine coming, and God needed somebody to be able to save the nation of Israel. And He sent a little old shepherd boy down to Egypt, sold into slavery. His brother sold him into slavery, told his daddy that something killed him, and ended up saving a nation, saving two nations. Saved Egypt and He saved Israel. Amen? That's the providence of God. That's God working individually. In individual lives, we're looking at individual lives here that the providence of God is dealing with. Israel escaped Egypt because God delivered them. Israel was shipped to Babylon because God wanted to punish them. And they returned because God stirred up the heart of King Cyrus to let them go. I want you to just think about this. You think about the providence of God in your life, in your personal life right now. You just think about it. Listen. Think about all the times and the stupid stuff that you did when you was young or the stupid stuff you do when you're old, that you should be dead, and somehow or another, God protected you from that. I think about, well, just last night, me and Maddie went deer hunting about two hours away from here, and we was on our way home, driving down the road in that little Honda CRV she's got, driving down through there, and it's dark. It was like 7:30. Dark, and out the edge of the headlights, I seen one deer come across the road. I started slowing down because I know there's usually another one with it. I started slowing down, and by the time I seen it, it was too late, man. I hammered on that brake, and we centered that, boom, centered the whole front end of that car. I mean, it knocked that deer probably 30, 40 feet down the middle of the road. That thing hopped up and run off. It could have come through the windshield. I mean, we could have got sideways and went off and hit a ditch and hit a tree. There's a lot of variables that could have happened, but it didn't even put a dent in that stupid car. Huh? I mean, there wasn't even a dent. I got out and I was expecting the whole front end of that car. I mean, listen, when I say we hit that thing, we hit that thing. All right? Man, it was like, I got out, flashers, went around. I had my headlamp on. I was like, I said, he didn't even hurt it. That's the providence of God, whether you realize it or not. That could have ended up another way, you know? And I think about times in my life. Listen, me and Brother Mike, we used to jump out of airplanes, okay? There's a lot could go wrong. Because at the altitude that we were jumping out, you do not have a whole lot of time if you do have a malfunction, okay? You don't have time. It's not a lot of time. So, I mean, and there's times. I probably jumped 20, 25 times. That's 25 chances to die right there. You know what I'm saying? But God kept me. Never got hurt. I've seen people break their legs, hit landing trees, hit vehicles parked on a drop zone. Get broke up, providence of God. Even when I wasn't looking for God, even when I didn't care anything about God, he was protecting me. And it's the same thing for you. Even when you didn't care, have a care in the world about God, his hand was on you because he is a great God. And he's a gracious God. And his mercies are new every day. And I need that. And his grace is sufficient. Amen? So we have a God that is active, participating in our lives, in this universe, on this planet, spiritual realm, physical realm, all aspects. God is in control. There's nothing that surprises God at all. There's nothing. So, I want to give you some verses that show the, I didn't even read all them first. I got one more verse, one more definition to give you. I got ahead of myself. This is going to tie this together right here. The fourth definition is prudence in the management of one's concerns or in private economy. Do you realize that the providence of God is God's economy? See, because in economy, you have to manage it. You have to know your assets. You have to know what it costs, what it takes to run it, everything that's needed to sustain it. So God's working. So the providence of God is like a business. We say we're doing the work of God, right? That's what this is, right? This is the work of the Lord. So it's an economy. And when you run an economy, you got equity in that thing. You have equity. Even in your personal life, your finances, your home, your family, all that stuff. Listen, you get equity in that. Listen, God has equity in this. I mean, he gave his only begotten son to die on the cross. So we, undeserving, could be reconciled to him. Amen? So God has equity in your life. He has equity in my life. And the next thing I'm going to teach on, if the Lord lets me, is going to be the rest of this message. There's two more parts. Okay? Listen. Be mindful. I can remember a time when I was raising my youngins. I had three good youngins. And it ain't because of me. Because I ain't good. I'm not good. You're not good. God's good. Lord Jesus Christ is good. He's great. And greatly to be praised, amen. But I can remember raising them three youngins in a single wide, two bedroom, 14 by 60 trailer. And there was times, man, we didn't have two stinking nickels to rub together. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we was broke. Because I told my wife, I said, look, I said, if you'll stay home and you take raise these youngins, I said, you won't have to work. I said, I'll work. Because I didn't want nobody else have, I didn't want my youngins to have nobody else's morals. But you know what? We never went hungry. Kids always had clothes. We had heat. We had air conditioning in the summertime. We didn't have no room, though. There wasn't no room. I'm telling you something. If you want a close family and tight, live in a 14 by 60 two-bedroom trailer. You'll have plenty of fellowship time because you can't do nothing without nobody knowing it. Amen? So listen, let God have equity in your life. Let God's providence have a sway on your life and how you serve Him because He wants to use you. And the only thing that is preventing God from using you is you. Amen? That's a fact. God can't use anybody that don't want to be used. You can set off and drift away if you want to and be out on a desert island by yourself, mully grubbing, complaining. Well, why God ain't using me? It's because your attitude. It's because your attitude towards His providence and how He's took care of you. And a lot of times we think, well, man, I ain't got nothing. I don't need nothing. The Bible says, my God shall provide all your need. Need. Not needs. Need. According to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. There's only one need, and that's Jesus. One need. That's all you need. Everything else, it's details. It'll come together. It will come together if you let God use you. Amen? I'm on time. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this day. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for using us. If there's one here today that don't know Jesus, or if they do know Jesus, and they've just been drifting a little bit. Lord, I ask You to work in their hearts. I ask You to help them to start paddling back. You said, Lord, if we draw nigh to You, You'll draw nigh to us. And that's necessary. That's necessary for us to draw near to You. I ask You, Lord, to help us today. Bless the upcoming services. Bless the choir as they sing. Bless the preacher as he preaches. And Lord, I pray that hearts and lives will be changed because of the Lord Jesus. Continue to work, Lord, here. Thank You for this place. Thank You for these people. Thank You for the Lord Jesus and that precious blood. And we ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.